Welcome to Your Childhood Trauma, where we talk about Buffy, the Vampire Slayer, and Mr. Pointy. I'm John, and we do talk a little bit about Buffy every week. We go through a few episodes. This week, we actually got through four episodes. We got through I Only Have Eyes for You, Go Fish, Becoming, and shit, what's the other part of Becoming called?
Still called Becoming.
Oh, okay, Becoming Part 1 and 2. I thought it changed its name. Becoming Part 1 and 2. All right. What are you how do you want to start talking about this, Ash?
Guess one episode at a time. So there was a discussion that Giles brought up, about forgiveness with him and Buffy. So do you feel that forgiveness is something that needs to be deserved and earned, or because the wrongdoer needs it and has an act of compassion?
I mean that's sort of a tricky question. I think Giles is probably right. I think that it is probably more of an act of compassion than certainly in like the biblical sense, like God forgives sins not because we deserve them or people deserve to be forgiven, but because he is merciful. So I mean that makes sense, but I think what's maybe most interesting to me about that is Buffy isn't really struggling to forgive Angel, she's trying to forgive herself. Yeah.
And there's a lot of people. I think it's a question like that, when it comes to forgiveness, I think it could go, either way. Do you only give it because someone earned it or
Well,
deserves
how do
it?
you earn it? Like, I mean, that's very subjective. Like,
Groveling. It's like, I don't know. It was like you, I guess, making it up to somebody in a sense, or something like that.
I mean,
Which
and it's weird because as a society, we forgive some people and we don't others. Some people, we forgive for as both public figures and just like say criminal offenders. Like they do, but for instance, criminal offenders. If you, there are people who are like selling. Major drug meth, people like meth dealers that get arrested and get out in like 10 years, and they're like a dude who's been picked up a couple of times with a baggie, and he's down for like 20 to 25. There are people who are like who have killed someone and get out in like 5 with good behavior, and there are people who fucked a 16-year-old and are there for 15, 20 years. So I don't know how we decide as a society or as a people who deserves it. So I think it's better to say it's an act of forgiveness because there's no like metric for how to get there.
I guess it's more of a, well, I guess, well, for some people, it could be, in a sense that, if the person, feels guilty about what they've done, then it's an easier way to forgive them, if they,
Okay, so side story. I'm just taking a minute to go on like a personal little thing. When I was a teenager, my mom was like trying to make me get a job, and I didn't want to get a job. I would fill out job applications, and it would ask if you ever been convicted of a felony. I'd just be like, "Yep, sure have." Never got a call back.
Oh, that's funny. Okay, you're looking for that tale.
Anytime.
So, well, the thing about Willow, why is there students still teaching this class?
I don't know. I had the same question. Like, oh, it would be one thing if it happened for a day, and even then, I mean, it'd be completely unsanctioned, and like, the school couldn't possibly allow it for more than a few minutes because, like, if another student gets injured or something happens, there's a fight or something, like, the school's gonna be liable because they don't have an adult in the room. And so, like, the idea that this is just gonna go on semi-permanently is fucking insane. Like, she doesn't have anything close to a degree. She didn't even have a diploma yet.
But I think Snyder touches on it a little bit in the in Goldfish. He was saying like there's no one confident enough in the, like pretty much in the area to be able to do it. But at the same time, like really, you can't
Like
find it.
Giles could do it, honestly. Like
Yes.
the li Willow could watch the library and Giles could teach class because I mean, like it's not like that library is getting a lot of action.
I mean, granted, Giles is not good with computers, but at least, you know.
Oh, he's an adult who is a reasonably intelligent human being. Like he can deal with like the well, Giles would be lost with teenagers, but it's still
Well, at
he's
least watch, like, have
yeah.
an adult
Well, I
watch
mean,
your process.
from a realistic standpoint, he would be a much better choice because at least he's, I guess, certified in some way and can be legal, and you're not going to be legally liable for any bad thing that happens in that room. But I guess also at Sunnydale, like students are showing up dead left and right. Like, you know, what happens in computer class probably isn't going to be your biggest lawsuit of the week. They must have like the best team of lawyers on earth. They have Wolfram and Hart. <That's good.
right?
laughs> That would have been a great crossover episode.
Yes.
Yep.
Oh man, that would have been genius. So how did you feel about this episode as a whole?
I liked it. I really like it. Builds and it builds, and it's not really all. It's not great for me. It's just going along okay, and I'm a little frustrated with Buffy until like the last 10 minutes. And like we've seen all these other people act the scene, and I think it makes it even more effective when we finally see Sarah Michelle Gellar and David Boreanaz do it. Especially Sarah Michelle Gellar, I thought she was really great in that scene, and that sort of makes the episode. And it also like sort of solves a puzzle, which is kind of neat. Like, how does this person ever get forgiveness? Well, he shoots a fucking vampire, and the vampire doesn't die. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, how did you feel about it?
I actually like this episode. I know a lot of people, you know, don't really enjoy the episode. I think
really?
It's better. Yeah, a lot of people don't seem to enjoy this episode. They enjoy it, but I think it's better on a rewatch, so you know what's gonna happen, so you like pay more attention to what's happening, to the lead up to it. But I guess that people feel like it's a filler until like, especially when they watch it for the first time.
But
until,
it is sort
like,
of like a holdover for Becoming, but it's a better holdover
yeah.
than Go Fish.
Yeah, well, like people don't really enjoy the episode until like that moment. Until that moment, well, I actually like the episode as a whole because it you know touches on something like you know teacher and student relationships and like the old you know. And I found the whole thing very interesting.
I want to know why. I feel like wasps and mosquitoes and shit should really like vampires. They're full of blood. What is that? I don't know. I don't see really all the weak episodes of Buffy in the first couple seasons. This isn't one of them to me. I just
yeah.
I feel like there are, I much prefer this to you know random monsters or demons occurring. I don't
yeah, because it definitely ties in with the current story.
Yeah, and it enriches it and. It's and Spike is well again, which is kind of neat. And it's also kind of neat that they built up like the tension between these villains. So like Spike is, even though he's like a terrible like murdering person or vampire, he's almost sympathetic at this point. Like God,
yeah.
that Angelus is an asshole.
Like
I hope he gets out of that chair and bitch smacks.
Like I'm just like I love the dynamic between these three this season, but like it also makes me feel bad for Spike, but I also find the whole thing just straight up hilarious. Because, like,
Angelus has so many fucking puns. Like he's just a pun machine over about the wheelchair over there. Like, sure you'd be hell on wheels. He's all like every time he talks to Spike, he's got some joke about the wheelchair.
Yeah, wheelchair. Not realizing that you know he's completely healed. I just love the dynamic. Like Angelus is just so terrible. Like he's straight up like rubbing in your.
He is, but I think Drusilla's worse. Drusilla, the way Drusilla treats Spike is terrible because he was like nurturing her and loving to her when she was all sick, and now he's fucked up and she's just like. Basically, like, dry-humping his, like, arch-enemy, like, right in front of him. Like, it's fucking terrible.
Well, I think she have. Well, she needs to keep busy. And she's not exactly the most sane person, but I think she was nurturing before, Angela showed up. That's her daddy right there. But like,
Angela, I don't even know how to respond to that. I'm just gonna leave that there.
Because it's like, it means two different things in her case. But yeah, I just love the dynamic of it. But I just want to say that Spike. If he's, like, depending how long he's been, in his wheelchair for the past, from here till the end of the season, or before he reveals himself, I have to say, this is probably the most patient Spike has ever been on the damn
show. Yeah, that's
show.
A good point. He's very calculating here.
Like, we don't really see that from Spike. He's very,
And in this episode, Angelus is very rash. He almost takes on... Yeah. For this episode, he almost takes on Spike's personality. He's like, I'm just gonna fucking kill her now.
then, it's like their roles reverse.
Yeah. And then he gets there, and he's, like, alone with her in a room when he gets out of his trance, and he's like, ooh, I have Buffy germs.
Yeah.
Like, what?
But, so how do you feel about, the Buffy and Angel relationship as a whole?
I'm out on it. I'm just out. It's weird that he's supposed to be, like, this really moralistic good guy, but he's sleeping with a girl who, to say it would be half his age, would be, like, a really, like, would be an insult to, to the perverts everywhere. He's sleeping with a girl who's, like, a tenth his age. Maybe, at best. And, I mean, it's the idea that it's true love and this is the one true love. Like, I get it from Buffy's perspective, but I just think it makes Angel look ridiculous. And, I don't know. I never watched the series for romance. Like, it's just not, yeah. It's not what it does well for me. I know some people really love Buffy and Angel.
I'll say this. I am a Buffy Angel fan, but... Well, and also, Angel has never had, he doesn't seem like a guy who's ever actually been in love before. But the thing is, I feel like my favorite, I know it sounds weird, but my favorite moments of Buffy and Angel's relationships, like my favorite scenes of them, is when, like, everything is just terribly wrong. like, when everything is just so fucked up. Like, the scene where Buffy and Angel, Angelus is possessed. That's one of my favorite Buffy Angel moments because it's just so sad and fucked up.
Yeah, I like them as enemies a lot right now, and I think it works here. I think if Angel had died or Angelus had died and never come back, it would have been fine. Like, a lot of how I'm feeling is, like, a lot of how I feel about their relationship is taken from what I know to be in the third season of Buffy, which is really just... I love that season other than the Buffy Angel relationship.
Yeah, I love the ghost possession scene where it feels like, we know Buffy's going to get possessed. And you wonder, like, okay, who the hell is she going to get possessed with? And then Angelus shows up and then everything clicks into place. And it has that role because everyone's thinking that, she's going to play the female and... the guy, some guy is going to play James, but it does that gender role reversal.
Yeah.
And it doesn't.
It's subversive in that way. It's nice. James apparently is pretty gender neutral. he's open to that sort of thing, which is interesting. But yeah, apparently, maybe it's more about who is the more, clingy person in the relationship.
Heartbreak.
I mean, I'm an avowed Spike fan, and I do enjoy his relationship with Buffy a lot more because it's not all, like, pseudo-romantic. It's just, like, we kind of hate each other, and we kind of like each other, and we like having sex, and it's weird because I'm a vampire, and you kill vampires. Where Angel is just like, let's pretend we're in a fairy tale. It's just like, oh, God.
Now, I love the... But yeah, I love the role reversal. It was really good. And they also had Snyder knowing about the Hellmouth this episode.
That was significant. Yeah. I wish Snyder would have fallen under the trance.
Oh,
you bitch. How could you leave me?
Oh Like, how he would have got out of that if he would have blamed Buffy.
Oh, no, absolutely. As he told Buffy at one point in one of these episodes, like, I'm going to look and look. I think it was this episode. I know it's your fault, and I'm going to look and bear and look for the truth until I figure out how the pieces fit together, and it's all your fault.
Yeah, pretty much. And we get the first mention of the mayor, I believe, this episode.
Yeah, I don't know if it was the first mention, because I thought it was School Hard, where they had a conversation, or sometime, where they had a conversation where, like, the mayor put you in charge for a reason. Wasn't that back in School Hard?
I don't think it was School Hard. It might have been, it could have been Bad Eggs. I
Okay.
think it was, yeah, it might have been Bad Eggs.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know, something like that.
Yeah.
Well, it, like, hinted that, you know, Snyder knew what was going on.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely been hinted at before now, but yeah, I don't know. I look forward to seeing the mayor. The mayor's obviously one of the great villains of TV.
One of my favorites.
Yep.
So, anything else on this episode?
No, not particularly. I liked it. I'm surprised to hear some people don't.
Yeah. So, next up we have Goldfish.
And then we have Becoming. I'm just kidding.
I feel like Goldfish.
I think I just
Yeah.
said it all. I mean, if I didn't watch this, I feel like I would have missed absolutely nothing. As ridiculous as Buffy is sometimes, I don't know if anything gets more ridiculous than, like, boys becoming giant fish monsters after they take steroids. Like,
But it was from the Soviet Union. Fish DNA.
good God. Yeah, so they just turn in, they bust out of, like, their skin suits and their giant
Yeah.
fish. I mean, it was not only was, like, the concept really ridiculous, like, the visual concept is not pulled off at all. Like, the special effects are fucking terrible.
But you had Xander in a Speedo.
That's not really for me. That's not my thing. I did like him and Cordy in this episode a little, like, that. I mean, those scenes are sort of entertaining. I guess if I had to point to, like, a positive, it's Cordy and her relationship with Xander in this episode. I like, especially when she was talking to the when she thought he had turned into a fish, and she got all,
Yeah.
like, sweet about it. She's like, I'll try to date you if that's what you want. I'll bring you fish food. Whatever.
You want, I understand if you want to see other fish. That was a great scene. That was probably the, you know, definitely the best scene of the episode. How do you feel about, you know, what they try to, do you feel it was over the top when, showing the slut shaming and the school dress codes for, young women in society?
I mean, it I guess. I mean, it's not so. I just don't take this episode of Buffy very seriously, so I didn't really think about that, to be honest. I was like, but yeah, I mean, obviously it's ridiculous that Buffy is blamed for that, but I mean, I think we were supposed to feel like it's ridiculous. I don't think
Yeah.
that, unlike I had a problem with the way that at the beginning of the season, like, it seemed to imply the message that trauma victims need to just get over it, and it seemed to imply that, like, torture works if you just do it right. Like, I don't think it was implying that it's the girl's fault. Like, I think it's pretty
Yeah.
clear it wasn't her fault. So, I mean, it's fine.
So,
Yeah, I don't I thought I think what was over the top was, like, the message that steroids are bad for you. Like, I got it. I don't think I'm gonna become a giant fish monster, but I got it. Don't do steroids.
my thing is, like, how did the coach get this, you know, was able to crack the code
I
of this
don't
DNA?
know. He's apparently, like, some fucking secret genius who just happens to coach the swim team at a little school in California. Why
Yeah.
not?
Like,
Like,
what?
thank God this wasn't happening somewhere else. This would have been a lot more trouble if it wasn't in Sunnydale.
Yeah. I'm just gonna blame this. I'm just gonna put a theory that it was the mayor. The mayor got it for
That makes as
him.
much sense as anything. It's his idea to have a town on a hellmouth.
Mayor. Right?
I don't know who thought it up in Cleveland. The mistake
Yeah.
by the lake, Cleveland, Ohio.
All right, so we're done with that one.
Good.
Becoming Part One.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so how do you feel about the way the episodes was done? Do you feel like it gives a better understanding of...
And you mean all the flashbacks?
Yeah.
I'm fine with that because it's, a two-parter and it's longer. And it gives us an idea, makes us feel a little bit sorry for Angel, maybe. Like, he was just a kid, the wrong place at the wrong time. He got a terrible demon put in him. It's not really, it reinforces the idea before he comes back to being him that it's Angel and Angelus are two different people. It does that fairly effectively to me.
Yeah, I think this the flashback definitely get a better understanding of who Angel is and who Angel is and who Angel is and who Angel was before he met Buffy between, those 90 years.
I really like what's his name, the immortal demon, sit down to even the school Whistler. Like, I really wish we got more Whistler. I don't think he ever shows up again, does he?
No, I think he comes in the comics, but
yeah.
That's,
yeah, I really like that. And that actor, too, is, kind of cool to me. And, never see him in anything else. I don't know.
Yeah, I really, I know some people wasn't, fond of Whistler, but I actually really like...
I'm hearing tonight, people hate all the things I like. Fuck you.
Yeah. So, the return of Kendra Young.
The vampire stay up. Mr. Pointy.
I really wish that, Kendra came back an episode before, so we got more, with that character.
Yeah.
I really like that character.
You do?
I enjoyed it. I wish we got more from her.
I wish there were more people of color in the Buffyverse. I wish that Kendra wasn't, the only black girl at the school, or she's not at the school, the only black girl on the show, but... I don't really wish we got more Kendra. I just wish.
Really?
I enjoy her accent, and that's about it.
Oh, I actually like Kendra. I just wish we got more. Get to know her a little bit more. The accent was a little better this episode.
Yes. Sounds like somebody who's just been listening to too much Bob Marley while getting high.
That could have been the case.
Could have easily been the case. I don't know. I wish she got a stuffed animal before she died. She probably should have hung on to Mr. Pointy. I thought the most interesting thing Kendra did was die, though, because it opened up a lot of questions to me. I'm so confused about why Drusilla and the Master have, this weird hypnosis power that no other vampire... I don't think there's ever another time where a vampire has a hypnosis power.
Dracula, but that's more...
Those are parlor tricks or something, which I guess this might be too. They're just good. They just got that Dracula shit down there.
I don't know. I just figured it was something was something in the family line of vampires because they are in part of the same family line.
Well, she was turned from Angel. Angelus doesn't have any of these powers.
Well, he probably didn't learn it. He's not special. Okay? He's not special. Darl is not special. Spike's not special.
He must be special. His blood is the key to ending the world. He's pretty fucking special.
Okay, but he gets that. He's allowed to have that then.
Okay.
Can't win them all, Angelus. Can't win them all.
Yeah, how about Drew bagging a slayer, though? Good for her. Good for
Drew.
Her. I mean, not from your perspective, of course. I think the best thing about Kendra dying, though, was the first time we ever see Buffy put in a situation like this, where she has to confront reality in a way where her slaying life and her real life can no longer coincide. And that's enabled by, somebody dying. And somebody had to die, or something had to happen like that, I think, for this to occur. And so, Kendra coming back to die makes sense. And we get Faith out of it, which I like a lot more than Kendra.
Well, yeah. I think everybody does. Even people who don't like Faith.
Yeah. And I'm not the biggest Faith fan in season 3. I like her a lot more afterwards.
I just love Faith.
It's not that I dislike her in season 3, I guess. I just like her a lot more after season 3. I like faith a lot more in small doses, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's what a lot of people enjoy. Well, faith haters, at least.
I'm not a faith hater.
Say you was a faith hater.
She's okay? Not Buffy, okay? She's not Buffy.
Okay.
Look, if loving Buffy is wrong, I don't want to be right.
Okay. You're fine. Okay, do you think that it was fair for only Buffy to make the decision on whether or not to reinstall Angel?
Okay, I think it could have been a conversation between Buffy and Giles. I thought Xander is 100% out of line, where he's like an errand boy who's in the background, and like the person who saves the world, and this is like her ex-boyfriend, and the Watcher, who's like girlfriend, love interest had died, or like having a conversation about what the best way to approach it is, and he just wants to shout over all of them, and it seems like it's coming out of like a jealous place, and it's just so fucking stupid.
I don't think it comes from a jealous. It comes back to the point that Xander hates vampires, which is part of, you know, a lot of people seem to forget that part that people, a lot of people just think is jealousy over Buffy and everything.
So what it seems like.
That's not necessarily how I view Xander with a lot of his decisions. I mean, it could have been a little bit of that, but I think, you know,
he's a teenage boy. It's a lot of that.
But like, what Angelus has been doing has it affects all of their lives. Like he
I get that, but not being able to compartmentalize Angelus from Angel seems kind of silly, especially when Giles is able to do it not too long into the future. I mean. Willow and Buffy can do it now. Like, why is Xander the only one who can't do it?
Man, but,
he didn't like Angel before he turned. I mean, he just doesn't like him. And you say he doesn't like vampires, and I guess that's true, but he specifically doesn't like this vampire because he's, like, banging the girl he's obsessed with.
Well, he's also a vampire that gets to stick around, too.
Yeah.
So it's not like you just hate, you know, like he's not really around.
But really the point isn't how Xander feels, it's just like, you know, these two people who are infinitely more qualified and more personally connected to this than you are having a serious discussion and you just start screaming about it like a little kid.
You have the right to
your opinions, and people should have the right to tell you to shut the fuck up.
Yeah, I feel that too. Well, I'm not believe me. I'm not saying what Xander, you know, did or the way he handled it was right, but I think, you know, something like this could have, you know, it could have been a more not an easy discussion, but I think, you know,
never allowed it to be an easy. Like nobody said, Xander, shut up, you can't talk. He just jumped up and started yelling.
Well, he was angry. Well, like I said, I'm not really defending Xander, like the way he handled it, but I understood why he was upset about the thought of, you know, reinsoling this, you know, guy who, you know, pretty much been tormenting them.
Okay, well, how about this concept? Like, whether you hate him or love him or however you feel about him, like, Giles doesn't like Angel at this point, but he's cognizant of the fact that, like, this may be the best way to stop him from ending the world. How about that?
Or you could just kill him.
Well, I mean, but you have to realize you can't, it's not like he's on the chopping block. You have to go out and risk your life to fucking kill him. It's not easy. He's one of the most dangerous vampires in the world. It's not like she's got to go kill somebody that just popped out of the grave. Like, killing Angelus isn't like as simple as, if it was left up to Xander, that motherfucker would never die. Like, Xander would, you know, if Xander wanted to go out and kill him, he would have been dead in a heartbeat. Like, Angelus is really fucking dangerous. So to just say, oh, it's just so easy to kill him, like, reinsoling him might have been the only way to save the world. And if that spell hadn't gone through, I mean, it's a little vague. I know that Angelus was on the defensive and looked like he was about to get stabbed, but just a couple minutes ago, like, Buffy was on the defensive and looked like she was about to get stabbed. And then it just flipped all around. So, like, to say, well, he wasn't, like, as good as dead even when the spell went through.
Yeah. I guess it goes back to that whole forgiveness and whether he's, you know, deserving.
Yeah,
of...
but it's not about forgiveness. It's about logic. Like, save the world. That's the point. The point isn't your feelings. The point is save the world.
Yeah, but the feelings get good. And it also brings up, because, you know...
And what does Buffy do? Does she want to kill Angel after he becomes Angel again? Of course not. But it saves the world. So that's what she fucking does. Because she's way more of a grown-up than Xander.
Well, she kind of has to. But, yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I see what you're saying. But I understand where Xander was coming from, too.
I don't. He's an asshole.
Gosh. I think everyone's an asshole.
Buffy's not.
Well, I think everyone's an asshole. So this is, you know, episode Willow. To begin to study the dark arts.
She's really good at this, like, to just pick it up. I mean, next doesn't make a ton of sense. Like, next season, she's having a hard time levitating pencils. And this season, she's doing, like, this really complicated gypsy spell that's been lost for hundreds of years.
Right. Yeah, it was weird. Like, because she's able to do the spell.
And Giles said he couldn't do it. And Giles had, like, obviously, we know from future episodes and past episodes, has a lot of experience with magic.
Yeah, but he was a lot younger when he did it. Like, Giles hasn't done magic, really, in a long time. And also, you know, probably not specifically the type of magic that Jen Callender does, which is the magic that...
Yeah, if he had talked to the council or whoever gave him all that power, like in season 6, he would have been hell, man. No problem.
Yeah, it was borrowed magic. It wasn't going to last.
I don't think the idea of borrowed magic exists in Buffy at this time. Like, that's going to be invented in a couple of years.
So, is there anything else you want to... Oh, Buffy, before she became a Slayer, it was pretty much Cordelia.
Yeah, I obviously love pre-Slayer Buffy because she's mean and it's awesome. It's great. I love her. That's obvious. I'm a type. I'm not gonna apologize.
We also get, you know, the insight into, you know, home life. You know.
Yeah, I mean, it all seems accurate. Like, I don't really know that it added much to Buffy, because we sort of know that story, and she sort of told us a lot about it. It's nice to maybe get a visualization. Thought it was seen really added more to Angel. But it also made it seem so fucked up, because, like, in the car, like, the last thing Whistler says to him that I remember is, like, she's just a kid, man. And, like, a year from now, Angel's, like, banging her.
Okay.
Like, somehow that got lost in translation for some people. But Whistler's like, you have to watch over her. She's just a child. And Angel's like, all right, I'll watch over her. All right. So anyway, I want to get to Spike and Buffy team up.
Yeah, so
coming
part 2,
How do you feel about Spike in this episode, Ash?
I really liked him in this episode. You know, with him teaming up with Buffy, he was very funny. You know, him briefly reuniting with Joyce.
Yeah, and, James Marsters is so good at, like, those little scenes with people where, like, they're sort of awkward, but he has, like, a line or two. He's always good in those. With Joyce, with Faith later on, like, stuff like that. I mean, he's excellent at that stuff.
Yeah.
Him and Joyce together was great. Just like, you're in a band, huh?
I love this. I wish we got more of that relationship. I mean, we got some of it. Like, we got a scene of it in season 3.
Yeah, I think it was even better then. But yeah, I agree with you. I wish we had got more Spike Joyce. It's one of the few times I like Joyce is when she's around Spike.
How do you feel about Joyce in this episode? I'm just going
to let you in. I'm not going to be as hard on her as I could be. She obviously makes a big mistake, but it's in her defense, it's not as if she had time to plan it out. The audience, we all knew this was coming as an audience. We all had time to accept that it was going to happen and accept Buffy's life and, like, as much as I don't like some things Joyce says and does, I can understand why you wouldn't want your daughter in that kind of danger. And Buffy doesn't do a great job of explaining it. It's like, that's the way it is, okay? And even though I feel like Joyce probably should have figured it out by now, washing blood stains out of the clothes and such.
Yeah, I was like, really? You're not going to ask?
I mean, Buffy's not, Joyce, I still say Joyce is not a great mother, but put in that situation where you have to make a split-second decision about how to handle it, like, I mean, it's not crazy to say, don't you leave this house or you can't, like, make an idle threat. Like, she never really meant Buffy couldn't come back, but it's the kind of thing that sometimes when adults are in conflicts with teenagers, it's making idle threats is just like a fallback. You don't know how to handle something, so you just say you're going to do something thinking they'll straighten out, and sometimes they don't. It's basically Donald Trump's contingency plan for Russia. He's like, I'm going to talk to Putin, I'm going to look him in the eye, and he's going to straighten out. So, like, that's Joyce's plan for Buffy, basically.
A lot of people, you know, when they talk about this episode with the scene with Joyce and Buffy, that it's kind of like a parallel to, you know, the conversation that they had was a parallel to, you know, someone coming out to their parents, and it doesn't end well. Like, have you tried not being a vampire, a slayer, and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, that is a good point. It almost makes more sense in that way. That's just the way it is. Like, she could have at least, like, explained, like, you know, there's one in a generation, Mom. You know, it's not a hobby. Like, it's a calling. Like, she doesn't really do any explaining. She's like, look, I'm the only one. Okay, I gotta do it. I gotta go. Which, also, in Buffy's defense, she's kind of in a hurry. She's on the run from the police, like, Angelus ending the world. She doesn't have time to explain.
Yeah, you can see both sides of the argument. Like, because Joyce, like, she just saw her daughter, like, stabbed on his chest and they went poof. And, like, she, you know, deserves an explanation. Like, what the
fuck? Yeah, but at that point, also, shouldn't she just be like, okay, vampires are real and my daughter's a badass? Like, okay. I mean, it's fucked up, but, like, I can't deny that. Those things seem like obvious facts now.
Yeah. But it's also trying, like, she didn't have a lot of time to process because, you know, Buffy was kind of blowing her off. And not blaming this on Buffy because she was in a fucking hurry. Like, the world.
But she had to be. I mean, it's not as if Buffy had the choice of when Angelus wanted to end the world. He wanted to end it tonight.
But it was funny. Like, I never noticed it before. I think I noticed it the last time I watched this, that Joyce was actually, like, drinking. So, like, so the stuff she was saying, like, she was probably getting drunk at this point. And it's a comment that sparks off the argument is Buffy just, you know, walking past and was, like, telling her, you know, have another drink or something like that.
Yeah.
It was kind of like a fucked up comment. And, like, her mother's trying to have a conversation, you know, and trying to get an explanation, and she says that comment, and it, like, kicks off the argument.
Well, I think Buffy was basically just, like, I mean, it's inferred, right? Obviously, it's not explicit. Obviously, Buffy does love Joyce, and Joyce does love Buffy. But I think Buffy has the same idea that I do. Like, it's kind of fucked up that you didn't know by now, and I'm not going to sit here and explain myself. And if you're a teenager, especially, which often we forget Buffy is, like, explaining yourself isn't really your forte in the first place. Like, it's not something teenagers are generally good at doing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's easy. I don't know. I mean, Buffy's biggest fear is always seems to be that, like, people won't accept her or love her or look at her the same, you know, because of what she is and what she does. And for Joyce to freak out, sort of like a little, like you say, the parallels to, like, someone coming out to their parents. Like, for Joyce to, like, freak out just makes whatever Buffy was feeling probably a lot worse.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think anybody was necessarily in the wrong in this fight, but yeah.
Well, I'd say they both are. Like, I don't know if anybody's in the right, but, you know, it happens. I mean, I don't like Joyce as a person, but I don't necessarily think this is all her fault either. This is just one of those things that almost seems inevitable when it happens. It maybe could have been avoided if either Buffy had ever... I understand why Buffy did. I understand why Buffy doesn't go, "Hey, Mom, I know you like me in a mental institution once, but guess what? I'm killing vampires." But I don't know why Joyce never talks to Buffy about, like, "Hey, found some blood in your clothes this week. Hey, another big rip in your vest. How'd that happen?"
Buffy should have just done her own laundry.
but
the big thing about this show, and what a lot of the characters' problems, especially with each other, come in, is lack of communication. Like, communication is like the serious problem on this show. This is why a lot of
serious problem in life, right? I mean, in real life, a lot of arguments and fights happen because of lack of communication. It's a real thing.
Yeah.
I mean, greed and lack of communication are, like, the reasons for most of the problems in the world. Very rarely is someone just, like, evil. Like, it happens, I guess. I'm not going to, like, deny the existence of evil, but it's not a big prevalent problem. Like, usually there's greed and there's people not communicating, and it leads to conflict.
Yeah.
No. I just want to ask... touched on Spike earlier. How did you feel about Spike? Like, once the fight breaks out, he, like, grabs Drew and runs off. Like, he knocks Drew the fuck out, then he runs off with her. How did you feel about that?
Well, he kept up his end of the bargain, John.
He did, but he wanted the world not to end, right? And, like,
yeah.
he explains that. And as he's leaving, like, he thinks Angelus is about to kill Buffy. So he obviously would reasonably conclude, oh, shit, that means he ends. Why didn't he run and go help Buffy? Like, if he wants Buffy to win, why didn't he at least, like, give a kick to the back or something?
Yeah, like trip Angelus up or something.
Yeah, just, at least just, like, try to throw, like, that tag team partner assist out there.
Yeah, that probably would have made a lot more sense. I guess because he just doesn't like Buffy.
But he didn't want the world to end. I don't know.
Yeah, he should have did something. I guess for comedic purposes, him just shrugging, like, you know, he's like,
yeah. Like, oh, well, fuck it.
Yeah, I was like, oh, whatever. I got my girl, so.
I liked it. I mean, it's oddly seemed okay that he knocked Drusilla the fuck out. It's sort of a touchy subject. Anytime, like, a man hits a woman, even vampires, I guess. But, with all the context, and we just saw, like, Drusilla's capable of, like, killing slayers, it seemed perfectly okay that he just punched her in the face to me. Like, she had that coming. Got it. I'm okay with that.
And not to mention it was self-defense. I mean, she did attack him first.
This is, like, I mean, Spike had, you know, as you mentioned, had been kept around because he was, like, a fan favorite. But I think this episode is really, like, the beginning of his face turn, so to speak. This is the beginning of Spike sort of becoming the anti-hero that he is for most of seasons 4 and 5 and 6.
Yeah. So, okay, question. Does Snyder really have any grounds of expelling Buffy?
Yeah, she got arrested on school ground. Like, as far as once that gets thrown out or overturned, every child has the right to a free and public education by law. So, he's going to have to, he can get her sent to, like, an alternative school or something like that. But he can get her kicked out of Sunnydale, but he can't, like, get her kicked out of school altogether. Like, he's got to provide her with some source of education. But at the time he says that, like, she's on the run from the law. So, absolutely, you can kick a fugitive out. That's okay.
Okay.
Fugitives don't have the right to a free public education. They are a menace to society.
Was it a wrongful arrest? Well, obviously.
If you walk in and, like, a girl standing over a dead girl, like, and when you try to take her in, she fights you. Like, it seems like. Seems like you better be on the lookout for her ass. Like, she probably did it. Like, that seems logical.
Well, they gotta arrest her first.
Yeah, so, I mean, they probably should have just said, we need to take you in and ask you some questions. But Buffy still would have resisted. I mean, so Like, this just made it more dramatic, I guess. It's probably more logical if they just said, we need to take you in and ask you some questions. And then she went all, like, berserker. But at least this way, it prevented her from just, like, unprovoked attacking police.
Yeah. These cops are just terrible.
Remember, it was the person, like, on career day dressed up like a cop trying to shoot her. Like, you know.
Who was actually supposed to be the cop?
I don't know. Probably. And we mentioned, like, this is the only time the cops ever show up.
Well, and Ted. It's the same detective from Ted when they questioned her in Ted.
Yeah, but they only show up, like, when Buffy is in trouble. Like, all the times other people are dying and Buffy's, like, having to solve mysteries and, like, fight crime and deal with all these murders going on at the school, like, the cops are never there. But, like, if Buffy's in a compromised position, like, they're all over that shit.
And I just, like, that lead detective, he was so, like, why would you be so smug about, you know...
The mayor, right? That has to be the answer if you're trying to explain it away. The reason the cops suck... But they're always all over Buffy's case is because of the mayor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the way the detective was just so smug in front of Joyce about her daughter being a thief, she's like, what the fuck, man? Like, she has no idea what's going on. She just wants some answers. And you, like, being total douchey in front of, about, you know, this teenage girl about to be, you know, being a fugitive in front of her mom like that. Like, terrible.
Well, I mean, but Joyce had to at least think like Cordelia. Like, maybe Buffy's in a gang.
Oh, man.
I liked the last part of this episode, though, for especially the last few scenes.
Yeah.
Because it's like, this is what the series would be like if it was Buffy the Lone Ranger. And she's just, like, removed from everybody. And we get a lot more of that in the season premiere of season 3. And it's like, yeah. Buffy the Lone Ranger. And I'm not saying it would have been a better series. It probably wouldn't. But it's an interesting look. To see how it would be, the series would be, if there was no Scooby Gang.
Yeah. So, you got Xander, who's, you know, spills his guts to Willow while she's in a coma. And then Willow calls for Oz when she wakes up. Like, he tells her he loves her, and she calls for Oz.
Yeah, which is, he's got a girlfriend who's, you know... left all of her old social life to, like, be with him, and is, like, pretty nice to him now. It's kind of fucked up.
But I think that could be I think him saying, I love you, and everything that he was saying, I think it could be interpreted to, like, two different ways. You know, him from a friendship standpoint, which is the standpoint that I would be taking, by the way. And, you know, we're all in a romantic sense. But I think, because, like I said before, you know, Willow is pretty much Xander's everything, you know.
She's more like his fallback. Like, he doesn't realize how much he cares about her until she's about to die, or he thinks she might.
Well, I think, I think that happens a lot, but he doesn't appreciate her as much as he should.
No, like, he sort of seems interested in her at the beginning of season 2, and then Buffy comes back, and he's like, Willow who?
Yeah, that happens with a lot of friendships, though. But,
it does, but, I mean, that's just the way it is. I don't think it's saying that she is very important to him, but I'm not sure he realizes that all the time.
Yeah. But I think with Xander, one of my favorite things about, you know, the Willow Xander thing, you know, I think if Xander had to choose, I think Willow is pretty much his number one.
You think?
In the sense that, you know, as a person, not in a romantic sense, but as a person. For the people in his life. She is his number one. I think if he had to choose between Willow...
So if he had, like, a MySpace top friends list, is this basically the argument you're making?
Yes. She is number one. But yeah, no, if Xander had to choose between Willow and possibly any other person in the show, I think he would choose...
I don't know. That's complicated because a lot... It depends on what Xander you're talking about. Like, Xander, at times, seems like you're right. And there are other times where he, like, will completely forget Willow exists if Buffy shows him any attention. And I'm like, I don't know about that. If Buffy actually, if he thought Buffy would ever actually love him the way Willow does, I think he would drop Willow.
I don't know. I think you always, I don't know. I think you always choose Willow.
That's a very nice thought, but Xander's an asshat.
I think because that's like his, like that's the biggest constant that's been in his whole life, and I think part of his, you know, he gets this twinge of jealousy, is that, you know, with him being, you know,
He's
Willow being
a
his
jealous
number one,
person.
and yeah, well, yeah, that too, but like him not being Willow's number one anymore, because they've been pretty much been each other's number one people in their lives, their whole lives, pretty much.
That's really weird way to think. I'm not saying you're wrong. I just never sit around and think about like who's my number one. Like, it's not really a thought process I have.
Yeah, she's his person. I don't watch Grey's Anatomy, but I know that
Yeah, but
phrase.
she's not his person because they end up like falling in love with other people and never getting back together.
Yeah.
Like,
Then
she's
said
his
that.
best friend, but she's not his person.
Yeah, that's true. But no, but you know, based on the speech, like what he was saying, and like who am I gonna call, you know, every night to talk about everything we did all day, you know, it's not a
What of
person.
the demons that will fall in love with you? Maybe Anya. How about that?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I actually was thinking about earlier, like, if he had to choose between Anya and Willow.
Well, I know Willow would have chosen Tara over him. Like, I don't have any hesitation about that. I don't know
Yeah.
if who Xander would have chosen, but I feel very confident who Willow would have chosen.
That's a sad thought, though. I don't like that. Oh, man. But yeah, you're probably right. This sucks.
Why does that suck? Like, Tara is so much better than Xander in every way.
I know. I know. Because I love Sarah. Oh, it's just, oh, man. I love the Willow Xander moments when they have their moments, friendship moments.
Yeah. I feel bad for Willow. I feel like she should have got a better friend.
Yeah, probably.
Be honest, like, she's awesome all the time so far. And
Yeah.
she's a witch who can, who is going to become very powerful soon. Like, really, I mean, Xander's pretty lucky to be obviously in contact with all the people. He just happens to know a really powerful witch. It happens to know the Slayer. It happens to know a Watcher. Like, he just happens to. He's Mr. Right Place, Right Time.
I mean, I think he's a good friend most of the time. He just he.
Hey, but there's, I mean, we've talked about it before. I mean, even as a Xander apologist, you have to admit there's nothing supernaturally special about him. He's just a dude. Like,
Yeah.
he's the average. Like,
He has heart, man. He has heart.
I
Sometimes he just happens to wear it on his fucking sleeve like an idiot. The way he does.
okay,
But
man, if you say so.
yeah.
Let it go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, as we've finished season two now, how do you feel about season two in comparison to season one after having rewatched them and discussed them?
Yeah, it's pretty safe. Season two is much better. It's, you know, the spike in ratings pretty much show that. But yeah, it's more of a consistent storytelling, and you know, it's very much more serial, which works better with you know, a show like this. So yeah, it's definitely way better than season one.
Yeah, I'm gonna say, touch on what you said, it's much more both serialized and just consistent. Season one had its moments, but in between those moments, it often got rough. And like, season two is not as consistent as season three. Like, the show is
Yeah.
still improving, but we didn't have a lot of stretches in season two where we were like, oh God, these three episodes. I think it happened like once, but. And like the but it was been like season two, the pilot's season one, the pilot's pretty good, and we both like the finale a lot, but in between is just a lot of so like, yeah, season two is a lot more consistent, and like you said, the serialization is an important thing because if this had even with the improvement of the show, this series doesn't work as well when the storylines aren't building each week, when they're just when cases are solved overnight. I don't care. It's just tough. I don't care that those kids are becoming fish monsters. Don't give a fuck. I mean, I'm a little concerned about the state of medicine and science, but that's about it.
Yeah.
I don't know why that guy, the fish, I hope the swim team coach was also the science teacher, because he must have really been good.
Yeah. Something.
Anything else, Ash?
No, that's it.
Okay. All right, guys, thank you for listening. Thank you for for putting up with us for the last hour. We are going to come back next week with season 3. I'm looking forward to it. It won't be long before we meet Faith.
Yeah. That's in the next.
And it won't be long after that before I get annoyed by her little sayings.
Oh, 5x5. Yeah.
What the fuck does it mean, Ash? What does it mean? All right, guys. I'm John.
And I'm Ash.
And we're out.